and welcome to Run the Table. It has been a little bit. I'm your host, Bryce Tinson. Obert, how you doing?
Very, very good.
Yeah? You excited about today's topic?
Not especially, but we're going to power through.
Okay, so as you probably know, we've taken a little bit of time off. It's been about 2 weeks since our last episode, school, and then spring break. So last year, before the tournament started, the NCAA tournament, we did our first, I think we did our first two rounds, right? Or did we just do the first round? I
can't. For what?
For our bracket. We went through the first two rounds.
Last year?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Unfortunately, weren't able to this time. We'll get into it, but both of us were on spring break, and as college kids do, we use that time to relax a little bit. But we wanted to get in, and we made brackets still, as one does. So we wanted to give you our picks, even, you know, so far as our Final Four. But we're going to go through the first two rounds. We're going to talk about who we picked, you know, the games that happened in place of them, and what's not. So first, we're going to start up in the, I believe it is, South region with Alabama and Corpus Christi out of Texas A&M. I had Alabama eventually going to the Elite Eight out of this region, so.
Yeah, the 116s were pretty easy, pretty straightforward, no upsets here, so just kidding. Yeah, no, but I had Alabama too. You were kind of an Alabama hater, you know, going into the bracket. You said they were kind of a, you know, phony one seed.
I didn't say they were a phony one seed. I just said, can you trust them? I don't know.
Can you?
Can you trust any team in this goddamn tournament?
No.
No.
But you know what? Hey, yeah, I liked Alabama a lot. They have so many scoring options, and that showed so far. They won, you know, a couple of games, and yep. Now we're in the Sweet 16.
Yep. That one was pretty straightforward. How far did you have them going?
Final Four.
They were one of your Final Four teams. Nice. Maryland, West Virginia. This was, you know, I think the second game of the tournament. No, this was the very first game of the tournament. It was a really good one. I had Maryland advancing and then eventually losing to Alabama. But yeah, I thought that, you know, especially West Virginia, they were kind of getting the help of the rest of the Big 12. Mm-hmm. Weren't a great team this year, but because they played in the Big 12 and had such a, you know, so many chances at quad one wins, they got the 9 seed. But you know, they played closer than I thought they would. Credit to Bob Huggins for that. But yeah, I had Maryland winning this one.
Yeah, I did too. I was very surprised that they were underdogs. Maryland didn't really get that. I thought, you know, the Big 12 was a bit overrated. Still do. And I think that kind of showed up in the first round.
Yep. Next game, San Diego State, Charleston. I actually had the upset here. 31-3. Charleston had been playing really good basketball. They just ran into a good San Diego State team, and B, they didn't play well. They had one of their worst shooting games in recent memory. So unfortunately, both those worked against me, and San Diego State won.
Yeah, pretty stunned with the way that Charleston had shot. I had seen them actually a few times, including once in their conference tournament, I think the finals. They shot the ball very well.
And I think they were the best three-point shooting team in the country.
Right, and like you said, with that record, I figured, man, this is going to be a tough team to stop in the tournament. Meanwhile, San Diego State's playing in the Mountain West. The only two separations between these teams as far as seed line is, oh, well, San Diego State plays in a better conference.
Exactly.
And it's like, it's the Mountain West. How much better is that conference?
True.
So I figured Charleston had a really good chance to win this thing. They did. The game was tied with about 2 or 3 minutes to go, but they stopped shooting the basketball.
Yep.
Kind of the story for a lot of teams, and San Diego State advanced. But,
yep.
Kind of a tricky one. I went with Charleston, but obviously it failed.
It is what it is, right?
Yep.
Furman, Virginia. I actually had Furman winning this game. It was one of those, it's Virginia and it's in March. That style of basketball, it struggles in March, and we've seen it. They were able to in, what was it, 2019? Mm-hmm. Win it all, but that was the best offense that Virginia's had.
Right,
they really haven't had that since then, and so it was a pretty common upset pick, and it took a absolutely boneheaded play and a really clutch shot in order to get it done, but it did.
I thought Virginia was going to win this game. I didn't, you know, respect Furman that much, and I kind of bought into what everyone bought into, which was that Furman didn't have enough offense to get it done. They did, but yeah, it was a very nip and tuck game. I didn't really believe in Virginia in this tournament. I think I had them losing in the second round to Charleston, so I really didn't have much faith in them. but they lost a round earlier than expected, so it is what it is.
And then my second round, I had Charleston-Furman matchup. Obviously, that didn't happen, but I picked Charleston to advance to the Sweet 16, which, you know, it died in the very early Thursday of that game. Next game, Creighton-NC State. I picked Creighton. I'm a huge fan of Creighton in this tournament. I have them as my Final Four team out of the South region. I had them beating Alabama in the Elite Eight, so I'm really high on them. They came out, they played really well against NC State. We were able to take that one away.
You know, it's funny. I thought between the two teams, everyone was talking about Creighton and Creighton and Creighton, and I thought NC State was actually more prepared and able to make a deep run into the NCAA tournament. I still kind of think that, but I thought from this game alone, I thought Creighton was a better team and would win the game. Ultimately, they did. But I still think if NC State gets through here, they're probably in the Sweet 16 as well. Creighton, as it turned out, which I had them doing, made a run to the Elite Eight because I think that this part of the bracket was kind of soft. Mm-hmm. I didn't see a lot from Arizona I loved. Certainly didn't see a lot from Baylor I loved in that Big 12. So I thought whoever would win that game would make a run. I did pick Creighton because I thought that they would win that game between those two teams.
Yeah.
But I thought NC State had a better chance to make like a Final Four run or something like that.
Fair enough.
Because they had more guards.
Yeah. But you need guard play. That's what we're seeing.
But Creighton got it done there in the Sweet 16. Wouldn't be stunned if they lose. No, they play Princeton. Yeah. Never mind. but I would be surprised if they made the Final Four. We'll see though.
We'll get into that in a little bit. But next game, Baylor, UC Santa Barbara. This was another common upset. People were picking the Guachos, I think is what they're called, the Guacos, something like that.
Yep.
To win this game, I ended up going with Baylor. Keontae George is just too good of a player. They ended up winning this game by 18. I did have them losing to Creighton in the second round, which did happen. I just, like many other Big 12 teams in this tournament, just felt like they were overseeded because they played in the Big 12. Baylor was the big proponent of that one. I didn't think they were a three seed.
Right. It was really ridiculous. I thought almost entirely along the board except for Texas and Kansas.
Yep.
But other than that, I thought it was so many different teams were seeded about two seed lines too high. And I thought Baylor was a perfect example of that, and that's why I had him losing in the second round. Didn't look particularly good in the UC Santa Barbara game, and definitely didn't look good in the Creighton game.
Yeah, so. I mean, that UC Santa Barbara game, I think they were tied at halftime, or they were up by two at halftime. So it took a fantastic second half, which it was, to win that game. But going into the Creighton game, I felt really confident about that pick. So next game, Missouri-Utah State. People really thought the Aggies were going to be able to get it done here. What I did was I faded the Mountain West. I didn't pick a single Mountain. They had four teams in the tournament. Nevada didn't even make it to the round of 64. They lost to Arizona State big time in the first four. I didn't pick Utah State. Obviously didn't pick San Diego State, but they've been able to advance to the Sweet 16, and it works here. I'm not even that big of a fan of Missouri, but they played well enough to get the win, and I eventually had them losing to Arizona, even though they just lost to Princeton instead. Right. So,
with the Utah State, I totally bought into, which, you know, I think I do every year, like the really hot team right now. There's always one of these games where it's like the really hot team versus kind of like the colder team. And this was this game. I think Utah State was favored in this game as a 10 seed over a 7. And the only reasoning for that was, okay, they're hot right now and are playing really well right now, even though over the course of the season they've been worse. I fell for it, picked Utah State because of how well they had played in their conference tournament. But Missouri was the better team, and they won that game. So made a mistake there, but is what it is.
And now the one of the most embarrassing performances, Arizona Prince. It would have been the most embarrassing. We'll get into the most embarrassing in a little bit. But Arizona loses to Princeton by 4 in a game that they just got outplayed. Princeton was the better team. I didn't see it coming. As we were watching the game, I was like, if Arizona is able to squeak this out, I legitimately think Missouri can beat them in the next round. Turns out, weren't able to squeak it out, and Princeton just mollywopped the crap out of Missouri.
Yeah, this was just an ugly, low-scoring game between Arizona and Princeton made the big shots in that final 4 minutes stretch in a very close game and got the job done. But, I mean, I'd never seen Princeton play the entire season, you know, so
Ivy League isn't one of those. Because they were left out of the tournament last year because they didn't play.
Right.
They didn't play last year, and so it was like, and the Ivy League isn't one of those, you know, those mid-majors that's televised very well.
Right.
I had no idea that
and the thing with Arizona that's interesting is, like, they won their conference tournament. The Pac-12 has done very well so far in this tournament. Mm-hmm. there was no reason to believe, like, I didn't think, like, oh, fade the Pac-12, or like, oh, Arizona's overrated. Like, they just had beaten UCLA. There was no reason to think.
Exactly.
Like, you know, exactly. So, it was a total surprise.
And then as for Alabama, San Diego State, San Diego State's coming off a great win against Furman. But I really just don't think they don't have the offense to keep up with Alabama. As good as their defense is, I'm still going to keep Alabama headed to the Elite Eight. On the same side, I'm taking Creighton over Princeton as well.
Yeah, probably. Probably something like
that. Let's go over to the Midwest region, talk about Houston, the number one seed, taking on Northern Kentucky. And this was a close game for a majority. I think it was about a two-point game with 5 minutes left.
Yep.
And then Houston pulled away, ended up winning by 11. But, you know, Marcus Sasser started the game, tweaked it.
Didn't
play much to finish it out, and Northern Kentucky took advantage. You know, all power to the Norse, right?
Yep.
To the Norse for a hard fought game. Unfortunately, weren't able to pull it out in the end.
I thought this game could be a bit close because the Horizon League is typically seeded much higher than this. I've seen them typically they're seeded the 15 seed line, so not a huge step up. But there's been some good teams. Well, how Butler's been seeded 8 or 9, not there anymore, obviously. But you know, there's been some really good teams. Are seated 14, 13, whatever. So I was a bit surprised to see Northern Kentucky slide down there. And I thought, like, they're probably, you know, a lot better than those 16 seeded teams. They looked pretty good, but just didn't have enough to beat Houston.
Yep. Next game, Iowa Auburn. This one felt like a pretty easy pick for me. Of the 8-9 games, this was the one I had least trouble picking. The game was in Birmingham. I think it was a 2-hour drive from Auburn.
Almost no fans from Auburn. I watched that game. I was like, there's no home court advantage.
How is that possible?
What?
How is that possible? So I literally picked them based off the... Maybe it's just the fact that Auburn didn't have to travel very far, and it was kind of the same regiment that they had that helped them. But if we're being honest, Iowa not hitting a three for the first time in any half this season definitely helped. And Iowa only lost this game, 8 points?
Yep.
They were right there in it. So Auburn didn't play well, you know, by any stretch of the means. Both defenses aren't very good. But once Iowa started hitting their shots at the end, because I think it was like a 17-point game at one point, and then Iowa starts hitting their shots, and all of a sudden, you're starting to get that feeling like, it's going to happen, isn't it? And then Auburn was finally shut it down and was able to win that game. But it's like, what in the world?
Yeah, it was surprising.
I ended up having, you know, Houston, because in this one I had Houston over Auburn, and another one I picked Auburn over Houston just because I didn't love, you know, what Houston had done. So in my original bracket, I did take Houston over Auburn in the round of 32. So I was right there at least.
I did have Houston over Auburn. I had big concerns about Houston coming into the tournament, pretty much dropping an egg against Memphis in their conference tournament. That really scared me. Without Marcus Sasser at 100%, it's like, what is this team? But they were able to get the job done. I did take Houston, but I just had them losing in the Sweet 16.
Yep. Surprisingly, no 12 over 5 happened this year.
Yeah.
Considering that we had, you know, we'll get into it, a 16. We had a 15. I think we had do we have a 14? I know we had a 13 in Furman.
I think so.
The most common one, 12 over 5, didn't happen. This was one a lot of people had, along with the Charleston pick. Drake over Miami. I went with Miami. I just thought, you know, by being friends with you, I watch a lot of ACC basketball. And so I had seen a lot of Miami play, and I just thought they're too strong in the front court. The backcourt.
Backcourt.
I don't know why. They're too strong in the backcourt to lose a game like this. And it proved to be true, even with Isaiah Wong having one of his worst games he's ever had. They still found a way to beat Drake and eventually advanced to the Sweet 16 after playing Indiana.
This Miami team is just like a stereotypical, you know, Final Four, big run sort of NCAA tournament team. Probably one of, if not, you know, the very best backcourt as far as three guards go in the country. Nigel Pack, Isaiah Wong, Brandon Miller, just fantastic players. And I did think that Miami could have some issues with Drake without Norchard Omier being 100% in this game and him being such a huge part of that defense. But they escaped. They did just enough. Wong had a bad game, which, you know, oftentimes he's kind of inconsistent. Like last night, he was fantastic. Other nights, he's like he was against Drake, and they almost lose. But I figured they had enough scoring options to win this game. They did, and that's why I have them making a very far run in the NCAA tournament.
So the team they played in the round of 32 was Indiana. I picked Kent State to win that game, and I don't know if it's a byproduct of watching a bunch of Mac basketball and seeing, you know, the kind of disrespect that the Mac gets. It's hardly ever a two-bid conference when every single time they get into the tournament, they give a team, you know, a run for their money. Kent State this year didn't do so that well against Indiana, but last year we talk about Akron playing a very close game with UCLA in the first round. The year before, our Bobbies beating Virginia, almost beating Creighton if we didn't have our worst shooting performance I think I've ever seen from us. Yeah. And so I think a part of it was me just saying the Mac gets too disrespected. Kent State has a player like Sincere Carey. You know, it's one of those like RJ Hunter for Georgia State. I just saw him pop up in a bunch of memories because of the shot he hit. Sometimes all you need is that one guy. The only problem is Trace Jackson Davis is one of the five best players in America. Right. And so you take that into account. Indiana was able to win this game by 11, and he played really well.
I feel like sometimes, like watching mid-major basketball, it's like going back to your old high school. It feels so huge in the moment, and then like once you get to like the big leagues, you're like, okay, this is a step up. Yeah. Since your carry is not Trace Jackson Davis, he's huge to us. He was our player of the year, yeah. But in the grand scope of things, he's about Jalen Hood-Scafino, like somewhere around there, who played fantastic against Miami, and you know. And Indiana did enough to win this game. But I would have been very surprised if Kent State had won. It was an 11-point game. So, I mean, it was probably a bit closer than I expected.
But it was never really like that close. Like at halftime, Indiana was up 35-27.
I figured that Indiana, it would have been hard for them to lose this game. But, you know, Kent State, they are a solid team. I think you're right. I think the Mac is slightly disrespected. I don't know if we've ever been good enough to have two teams.
That's
in,
the thing. It's like, but, it's like our you know, non-con, right. It just isn't good enough. And we don't have that kind of prestige that, you know, the West Coast Conference does, where they can get a St. Mary's and Gonzaga both as, you know, at-large bids.
But a lot of that is nobody wants to schedule us, yep. You know?
And it's true.
It's just true. How it is.
And then Miami ended up beating Indiana. I had Miami advancing. Anyway, I have Miami in my Final Four. I think you do, too.
Yep.
Really good team. I had them beating Houston.
With Indiana, I felt like as good as Trace Jackson Davis is, it's one guy.
Exactly.
And that really hurts you come March when, you know, you don't have another second scorer that's as consistent as Trace Jackson Davis. Hood-Scafino's good, and he showed that in the Miami game. But when you're facing a team like Miami who has four or five scorers at any moment, it's very hard. It's, you know, fighting an uphill battle. And, you know, I'll take young, really good backcourt players over front court players every single day of the week in this tournament. And it worked. Miami to the Sweet 16.
Then we got Iowa State Pitt. Iowa State, another Big 12 team that was very much overseeded. Even still, they had one of the worst offensive performances I've ever seen. They put up 41 points.
Yep.
And they're playing a Pitt team that loves to shoot just at will. They only put up 59. This was the rims game, right? Where the rims were.
Yeah, the rim was at like an off angle. During the game, I think in warm-up. Iowa State didn't get a chance to warm up. But
even still, it was seriously one of the worst shooting performances I have ever seen. I think they shot like 25% from the field. Yep. It was so bad. I had Pitt winning this game in the first place. Once again, just didn't believe in the lower tier Big 12 teams for the most part. I really liked this Pitt team and their ability to, you know, hit the outside shot consistently. They were able to do it well enough in this Iowa State game to advance. But yeah, just another Big 12.
Yeah, I mean, I thought Pitt would easily get through round one. It actually took them a lot to get past Mississippi State.
One I was worried about. I was like, if they can,
right? Yeah,
you know, and that they
should
played
be free
so
money.
They played so bad in that Mississippi State game.
Yeah,
too.
They did. But they had enough and they won the game. And my thing with Iowa State was, it's like you look at their record. They finished fifth in the Big 12. Hold on, let me pull up what their actual Big 12 record was. But, you know,
wasn't just like 11-9.
Something, it was 9-9. Like,
yeah.
that's how they are. When the difference between two teams is six seeds and one team has a better record than the other, it's like, what in the world are we doing? I thought this was the easiest upset pick of the
It was one of those that it didn't feel like an upset.
Right.
It was like it was, me taking Michigan obvious. Over Colorado State last year.
So obvious. I mean, this Iowa State team was a six seed. I genuinely think this should have been an 8-9 game where Pitt was the 8 and Iowa State was the 9.
Yes.
And,
absolutely.
You know, sorry to Iowa State, but I think that's how it was.
But the ACC got disrespected by the committee this year.
Absolutely. So. And the Big 12 got way too much respect. Iowa State had no business winning this game. They actually played decent in their conference tournament, and I saw that. But before that, and, you know, kind of throughout the Big 12 play, as an offensive team, they were very limited all throughout the season. This isn't, this came out of nowhere. It was just their worst performance of the season. Well, maybe it was, but it was like, if you had watched Iowa State basketball, you knew they were capable of this, and they showed it.
Next game, Xavier, Kennesaw State. What a game this was. I believe Kennesaw State had a 15-point lead at one point? Xavier able to, you know, climb, claw back and win this game in the final minutes. But, you know, this was another upset that people had. And I was like, I don't know. Yep. I picked Xavier. Maybe it was because I didn't see any of Kennesaw State this season. But I had watched a good amount of Big East basketball. And I know that, you know, regardless of what Sean Miller's teams have done in the past, you know, in Arizona, when he was with Xavier, when he was with Xavier last time, they were a little bit of a threat in the tournament. So I rode the Sean Miller train all the way to the Elite Eight.
Wow,
I know, crazy, right?
I did have Xavier in this game. I watched like two or three Xavier games maybe throughout the season. Really didn't know a lot about them, but I figured they were good enough to win this game, and I actually had them going to the Sweet 16. So I was surprised with the outcome. Kennesaw State played really well.
Yeah, I thought that Pitt would offer them a little bit of trouble in the round of 32, and they kind of did, but Xavier won that game pretty easily, 84-73. Next game, Texas A&M, Penn State. This one's tough because I did end up going with Texas A&M just because I literally watched them. I had just got done watching them in the SEC tournament around when I was probably, 3 days later when I made this bracket. It's like, this team's good, even though they had just lost by 20 to Alabama in the SEC championship game. I was like, this team's good. They can do it. And I just watched Penn State play in the Big Ten tournament. I was like, once again, I don't know if this style can win in March. And, you know, they played their lights out game, destroyed Texas A&M, won by 17 points. I was just wrong about this one. Just plain out wrong.
This was another tough one. I thought Texas A&M was severely underseeded. I thought they should have been a 5 seed. Everyone thought they should have been a 5 seed or something like that, 6-5-4, somewhere in there. And so it was so weird because it was like, I think Penn State, if they faced any other 7 seed, I would have picked them. Probably picked them to go to the Sweet 16. But as it was, I was like, A&M's going to be hungry. They're going to win this game. They're not going to, you know, make too much of a ruckus about it. It's just going to be bang, like, just head-to-head, I thought A&M was better. I thought Penn State had a serious chance to go to the Final Four. The great thing about that team is they shoot the three ball so incredibly well, and they play defense. So it's not just like this one thing where it's like, oh, well, if we shoot well, you know, we'll win. But if we don't, we'll lose. But it's like they have that defense to fall back on every single time. Shrewsbury does a great job. I mean, those players, you'd think like, oh, well, they're probably average defensively. No, like I saw it in the Purdue game. They played very well. And that's exactly what they did to A&M. They had, you know, their usual defensive intensity, but shot the ball well, and they were as good as any team in the first round, if not better.
Texas Colgate. This one was pretty easy for me. I did know of some people that took Colgate to win this game.
Interesting.
But Texas was one of the few Big 12 teams that I actually believed in this year, and they won this game by 20 points pretty handedly.
Yep.
Okay, then I had Texas A&M, Texas in the round of 32. I did have Texas winning, so it didn't end up killing me. I actually got the Sweet 16 right out of this region. I do have Miami winning, so I'm going to stick with that pick, and I also have Xavier beating Texas. So I'm going to stick with both those picks to go, and then I'll probably have Miami go into the Final Four, keep that alive.
You know, the top of this bracket, you know, both of us, it looks pretty good. Our viewers are probably like, oh, what's all the fuss about? You guys are killing it. Come on, man. I had Texas and Xavier as well.
Let's see how many picks I got wrong in the first round of this top half. So I got 1, 2, 3, 4. So I got four picks wrong on this top half, these top 16 games.
Yep.
That's not a bad, that's a 75% hit percentage.
I think I had about 7 or 8 of these, probably 6 or 7 of these Sweet 16 teams. I had Houston, I had Miami, I had Xavier, I had Texas, had Alabama,
I got 6 of 8. I just didn't have San Diego State, and I obviously didn't have Princeton.
Yep. Because same with me.
You'd have to be a loon to pick a 15 seed to go to the Sweet 16 unless you were from that school.
Right.
Okay, now we're going to go to the West Division. We're going to talk about Kansas. Howard played them close in the first half, but it's Texas, or it's not. It's Kansas, and they were able to pull away with the with their offense. Ended up with 96 points, winning that game by damn near 30 points. Yep. Without Bill Self, which did come back to bite him in the second round, because then they had to play an Arkansas team that it was fresh off just whipping the absolute crap out of Illinois.
Yep.
I took Illinois. I bought into the Big Ten. I did. And like if there's any
team... It was decent. I was like, if there's the wrong one.
If there's any team that can do it, that can make a little bit of a run, it's Illinois. And then I forgot what I had forgot, because I was like, they got pretty good guard play. They're still a physical team. Then I forgot that they're still coached by Brad Underwood. So, yeah.
And it cost you.
It cost me big time, because Arkansas ended up winning that game by 10. And, you know, had I had the actual foresight to see Arkansas-Kansas, I might have taken Arkansas.
I had Arkansas in my main bracket. I picked Illinois and a couple of others, but I think I mainly had Arkansas. Yeah, I liked Arkansas to win. I thought that, you know, I didn't think Arkansas was very good, but I just thought Illinois was a bit worse. Like, I haven't seen Illinois really impress me a lot this year, and they did not in the first round.
No, they did not. It was very frustrating watching them. It was like they would get it within 5 points and then they'd give up a 11-2 run. It was like, God damn it. What are you doing? And then Kansas ended up falling to Arkansas in the second round, and yeah. A lot of that can be attributed to no Bill Self on the sideline, I think.
I have no idea. I didn't watch a game, but it was certainly a surprise to me. I think Musselman definitely has a knack for this in March, and they got the job done. It was a crazy game, though, because I saw that they were down pretty big and came back to win.
And you're gonna. I bet people are going to be, why didn't you watch the game? It's March Madness. We'll get into it, folks. I'm putting this off as long as I can. Yeah. St. Mary's VCU. I had St. Mary's winning this game. I just didn't think VCU.
I had VCU.
You did?
Yeah.
I didn't think VCU was, you know, that good of a team. It is mid-major against mid-major.
Kind of what I thought, you know.
But I just thought St. Mary's, you know, they had at least gained enough of the committee's respect to get an at-large bid. And it was a 5 seed nonetheless. Right. So, you know, I thought there was something there. I ended up going with St. Mary's to win that game and was right.
Yeah, VCU I thought was, like you said, mid-major versus mid-major. I thought, all right, these teams' competition has probably been pretty similar all of this year. You know, VCU ran through the A-10 tournament and all throughout the season had been very good. I thought this was a very underrated team, and as soon as they get into this tournament, just melted down, did not shoot the basketball, and this was a relatively easy win for St. Mary's.
Yep. And then UConn-Iona, a lot of people picking Ricky P. I'm not going to pick Ricky P.
Yeah, I thought it was just for the sake of picking Ricky
P. That's really what it felt like. UConn, I mean, UConn's one of those teams that, you know, we talk about, maybe not one of those one or two seeds, but hey, can this team make a run to the Final Four?
Right.
And they won by 25 or 24 in the first round, so you tell me.
Yeah.
And then they ended up, you know, winning by 15 against St. Mary's in the round of 32. I picked St. Mary's to beat UConn. I don't even know what to say about that. I was just wrong.
Yeah.
Just wrong.
Yeah, I liked UConn. I think I had them in the Sweet 16. I would have to check to make sure. Yeah, I'm pretty sure I did. But... you know, they did a very good job in the tournament. I think the Iona game was close, like at halftime or something like that.
Yeah, it was. And then
UConn just absolutely ran away with it.
TCU Arizona State. This one was a lot closer than I was expecting. I saw a lot of people taking, you know, Arizona State / Nevada over this TCU team. But, you know, this is a good TCU team. I actually respected them amongst the Big 12 teams. They had dealt with a lot of injuries this year. And they fought through it. I respected them as a team, as a unit. They were able to eke out a win against Arizona State. It wasn't their best game, but they were able to get the job done, 72-70.
I did have Arizona State. I thought after they beat Nevada the way they did, I was like, this team is real, especially with the way they played in the Pac-12 tournament. I was like, they're going to win this game. Big 12 is overrated. But TCU and Jamie Dixon, they always play well in this tournament, and that's on me for missing that.
Gonzaga Grand Canyon. This was a close game for the majority of the way through. But Gonzaga is just more talented than an online university of Green. guess what I found out? They actually have a huge on-campus base. I looked it up, and it was like something like 30,000 people.
Wow.
I was like, whoa, Grand Canyon? Really? And so they ended up, you know, beating them by 12, pulled away late, and then faced off against TCU in the second round. I had TCU winning this game. So close. Almost had it. Ended up losing by 3. Hit a last-second three-pointer to make it a little bit more respectable than it was. It was close for most of the way. TCU even had a couple leads at one point. But once again, Gonzaga just pulled away at the end. Yep. So
remind me a lot of Gonzaga-Memphis last year. And remind me of Arizona-TCU last year, which I think Arizona won.
Yep,
so,
they did.
Very close game, and obviously TCU... couldn't get the job done.
Northwestern, Boise State. Once again, I faded the Mountain West. Picked Northwestern. Ended up working out pretty good for me. Won by 8. I believe this was Northwestern's first tournament in like 10 years.
2012.
They get a win and then face off against UCLA, who beat UNC Asheville in the first round. That was a beatdown, 86-53.
Yep.
The Bruins were able to take that one. Mick Cronin in March, right?
He's goated. Absolutely goated.
And then Northwestern gives UCLA a little bit of a scare in the round of 32. UCLA is only able to win by 5, but that's a credit to how good they are as a team.
Yes.
Because you know Northwestern, they brought some rights and lefts, but UCLA countered each and every time.
Yep.
And
I had Northwestern winning the first game, and you know, but I did have UCLA getting the Sweet 16.
I did too. Surprised. Ultimately, my Sweet 16 was Kansas St. Mary's. Neither one of those happened, and then TCU UCLA. So out of this region, I had one team make it to the Sweet 16.
Let me see who I don't think I did.
My final four was UCLA, Kansas, and I had Kansas advancing in this one. In another one, I picked UCLA. I think UCLA ultimately advances out of this group. I think UConn probably beats Arkansas, and it's a UConn-UCLA Elite Eight out of this region, and I think UCLA probably wins.
Yeah, I had Gonzaga, UCLA, Kansas, UConn. Very chalk, but I thought that was going to happen.
And you were
was wrong.
Right. Well, you were mostly right.
Yeah, that's true. But I had Kansas going to the Final Four, so
well,
ultimately wrong.
What do you think about it now?
I think UConn would probably be my favorite to get out of that region. I think obviously
they're
playing
really
Arkansas
well.
Would give them a tough game, but I think. I think I would probably take them over the winner of Gonzaga UCLA. I think Gonzaga could easily win that game against UCLA.
Yeah.
Timmy is still fantastic, and
he's also 80
last night, right? In the TCU game, it's like he can just will them to wins, and he did last night. So Gonzaga has a very strong chance, but I think UConn gets out of there.
My worst region to date. I don't know how many picks I actually got right. Like, this is, I'm going to look through. One.
Mine was awful.
Two, three.
Absolutely awful.
I got 3 picks right out of the 8 games in this region.
Yeah.
In the first round.
I think I had 4 or 5, maybe.
Are you still talking about the West, or are you talking about the East?
Oh, I was talking about the East.
Yeah, I was talking about the East. Okay, I was just making sure we're on the same page. Yeah, so the East. We're going to start at the top. Purdue. Yeah. Okay. I had Purdue winning it all. I have some affiliations that I couldn't overlook. Okay, I was blinded by love, and I picked Purdue to win it all. If I was picking with my brain and not my heart, I probably would have had them going to, you know, the Elite Eight, if not the Sweet 16, or Sweet 16, if not the Elite Eight. Did I think they were the best team in the country? No, I've watched them play basketball. I know they're not the best team in the country, but unfortunately, picked with the heart, with the brain. This was the most embarrassing performance I've ever seen on the basketball court. I don't know if Purdue could have played worse. Seriously. No. I watched as many Purdue games as, you know, a non-Purdue fan ever would. This was by far the worst game they've ever played.
Yep.
Who was it? Jay Billis?
Jay Billis.
Guy, FDU didn't play well. Purdue just sucked. Let's call it what it was. Purdue sucked.
I forget what the quote exactly was, but it was like Purdue lost because they sucked. let's say it how it is. Purdue sucked. And he nailed it. Nailed it right out of the park. It was terrible. And I think that it's frustrating because a part of me still thinks Purdue is one of the top
four or five teams in the country. And I believe that because I think if Purdue goes head-to-head with so many teams,
yeah,
they beat a lot of them. Like, I don't know. I watched that Duke-Tennessee game. You know, I think Purdue at their best could have won some of these games, and they did only a couple of weeks ago against Penn State and, you know, looked really good in the Big Ten tournament and in the regular season, finished out the regular season very well. So they did a lot of things well. The issue was, as for you know, just a March Madness team, an NCAA tournament team, I thought they were the worst one seed in recent memory. Yeah. They were terrible for March. You needed, in March, you need to be consistent, have young guards, or not young guards, but just guards that can play, that can score, can't really be relying on one player. You need to be versatile defensively, and Purdue was not any one of those things. You know, the a formula to beat Purdue last year with St. Peter's was so obvious. It was, we are going to double team Zach Edey. What they did was, as soon as he gets the ball, we're going to trap him, force him into turnovers. That was actually like almost more frustrating because it was like, as soon as we got it to him, there were guys open, but Edey couldn't get it to the guys that were open. This year, it was like, there were guys open and we made the right basketball play every single time, but those guys could not hit 3-point shots. And that was a different type of frustrating because FDU did was just double ED front him and have a guy right behind him, so he literally could not touch the ball, and basically guys were just open that were going to pass to him, but they couldn't hit that shot. They were literally sitting there wide open from three, not guarded, many times in the game, and they could not hit the shot. When a NCAA Division I team is being dared to shoot in 2023 from three, it is absolutely unbelievable. You know, you can blame it on so many different things. But the fact is, this is kind of, you know, been Purdue's biggest flaw throughout the Big Ten play. They could not shoot the basketball, and it killed them when it mattered most against FDU. As soon as it hit halftime, I was like, I feel bad about this. It's not like it was like, oh yeah, we're turning the ball over and that's not good, but that's been what the team has done throughout the year. They've turned the ball over a lot of times, especially when facing that press, and Braden Smith had seven turnovers, so that was part of it. But more of it was like, unless we have some sort of insane turnaround from three, we were shooting about, I think, 16% from three at the half. Like,
yeah, I was around there,
And it ended at about 15,
17.5% was what it was.
I just didn't see it changing at all, and it didn't. And we needed it to, you know, kind of turn around and hit some threes. We just never really did. Fletcher Lawyer hit a few, but it wasn't good enough. So I definitely saw it being a close game. After you looked good against Texas Southern and obviously weren't very good, or certainly weren't an elite team in conference play. That's why they played in the playing game. But, you know, so much of March is about just in a vacuum. You know, forget what's happened, forget what's going on, just play this game right now and anything can happen. We saw the same thing with UMBC. If a team's hot, they can win any game. And that's what happened. Yep. Purdue played their worst, you know, game of the season, and it cost them. And always with these 16 seeds that, you know, pull off these wins, and, like, you know, they also almost, you know, gave FAU for a serious run for their money. They're underseeded, you know, like they should have been a bit higher and clearly had a lot of potential.
Well, actually, I don't know if FDU was. They're
right, didn't win their conference tournament.
They didn't win their conference tournament, and their net rating was like 360.
Exactly. Very bad net rating, but at the end of the day, they had a lot of potential.
Yeah.
They were
a team built for March.
Exactly. Their guards are fantastic and were very difficult for Purdue to guard. I didn't think they played well offensively, and I think the numbers are there to back that up. They had open shots, didn't make a lot of them, but hit enough threes to win the game. Purdue gets it home.
If
I had Purdue losing the Sweet 16, I knew this was a terrible March team. I thought they had no chance to get past Duke. It turns out it wouldn't have even been Duke, but it is what it is.
If FDU plays any one of the other one seeds, they get slaughtered. It is what it is. But because they got the only one seed that has zero outside presence and could not beat them on the offensive end, they were able to pull off the upset. Statistically, it was, you know, the biggest upset in March Madness. When you look at the styles of play and having watched Purdue all year long, it's like the writing was kind of on the wall. At halftime, we were sitting there, it's like, this is kind of, with FDU having the lead, it was like, this is kind of what we expected.
Right.
What I didn't expect was them to continue to be piss poor shooting in the second half. So it is what it is. Memphis, FAU, everybody was on Memphis. It felt like I was even on Memphis, and they ended up losing by one to a very, very good FAU team. I believe that was FAU's first ever tournament victory.
Yeah, would be my guess. But Memphis,
didn't play well enough and they lost this game. I was certainly surprised. I thought Memphis would win this game pretty easily. I thought they were playing well.
I didn't watch it. I'm going to be honest with you. Did you stay and watch this game? We were at the venue. You didn't stay and watch?
Mm-mm.
Yeah, no, neither did we.
We left as soon as the Purdue game ended. So it was frustrating, and we got the hell out of there. Pissed.
And then FAU ends up beating FDU. You know, it was a close game, like we said, but FAU wins by 8. Duke, Oral Roberts. Yeah, I picked Oral Roberts. This team is better than the 15 seed.
12 seed.
No, but better than the 15 seed that they got 2 years ago. And that they played Ohio State, beat them, and then played Florida and beat them. I thought for sure that, you know, if they weren't able to win, it would at least be a close game. I did not think they were going to lose by 23 points.
And not score in the first 8 minutes.
Yeah, it was. I'm watching this game, and it is. I think it was like 16-0.
Right. For 8 minutes,
I was like, "What are we doing?"
Oral Roberts did not score for the first 8 minutes of the game. My dad and I thought it was like some sort of record. I just could not believe it, but that's how it was. Yeah, the thing was, Duke was so good and is so good defensively that the way they would lose would be to a team like Tennessee, where it's just like they are going to grind out that game and kind of almost like out-duke them. And that's exactly what Tennessee did. But, you know, with Oral Roberts, it was just going to be hard. Like, Duke is now, or was at the time, playing really together. And it wasn't going to be like an Ohio State situation where it was like, we get the right team at the right time. No, you ran into a buzzsaw. But, yeah.
Yeah, you mentioned Tennessee. They were able to beat Louisiana. And this isn't the Tennessee team from last year that I think we both picked to at least the Final Four. I picked them to win it. It felt like they could just explode for 80 points a game. And it's most of the same players, but they are really defense-oriented this year. You've seen it in their first two games. They gave up 55 to Louisiana, then they give up 52 to Duke. And you know, a lot of people picked Louisiana to beat Tennessee.
I picked them in a couple of my brackets.
I rode Tennessee. I rode Rocky Top. But I had them losing to Oral Roberts in the round of 32. I really thought this Oral Roberts team could make a run. When you talk about a guy like Max Abe Smith and actually having, you know, because it was Kevin O'Banner?
I think so.
In 21, but it was only those two guys. The team as a whole this year was much better. And so yeah, I ended up being very wrong about that. I picked the wrong double-digit seeds, I guess, to win these games. And so Tennessee ends up beating Duke pretty handily and now gets a very favorable matchup in FAU in the Sweet 16.
Yep. I think they'll win that game, and it'll be crazy because this Tennessee team is not very good, but I think they'll go to the Elite Eight.
Kentucky-Providence. Kentucky staves off the Friars, able to pick up an 8-point win there. I picked Providence. I really didn't believe in this Kentucky team. I don't believe in John Calipari anymore.
Coach Cal.
Listen, when the Wildcats are telling it, are calling for his head.
Oh hell yeah, they are. They're crazy.
They are crazy. But like, you know, it just kind of feels like almost like it's the end of an era for him. I don't know. They just don't really.
I wouldn't be surprised if he leaves or something like that. But I mean, dude's won a national championship. You know, he's still recruiting well, and after a very tough start to this season. This team was good and one of the best teams in the SEC. The only problem is, you know, Kansas State, I think they've got more scorers and won a very close game.
Yeah, in Kansas State, like you mentioned, they played them in the round of 32 after beating Montana State in the first round. This Montana State team, you know, they're a solid mid-major. They're able to really fill up the bucket. Just could not keep up with Kansas State. The Wildcats won by 12 points, and then ended up winning by 8 against Kentucky in a game that, you know, it was close for most of it, but yeah, you know, the real Wildcats.
Kentucky had like a 3 or 4 point lead with like 4 minutes.
Yeah.
It's like how?
And the real Wildcats ended up winning.
Wow. I took Kentucky to go to the Sweet 16. I heard a statistic from Scott Van Pelt that said that in the last however many years, it was like 10, 11 years, you know, teams with less than a 40% chance to make the Sweet 16 as a 3-seed had like never made the Sweet 16. So it was like, that was one of the things. And I was like, ah, man, Kansas State's good, but I feel like I should go with Kentucky. And it was obviously Big 12, so I wanted to, you know, follow that. And, you know, now it just never, ever go with trends. I should have known.
You hate trends.
I know, but I was like, I thought there was a bit of like, oh, yeah, Kentucky could beat Kansas State. But then that, you know, trend pushed me over the end, and I shouldn't have followed it. But, yeah, Kansas State's really good, and I should have, you know, known with all those scores that it was going to be easier for them against a team that, you know, Toppin is good and Shibway's good, but, you want those guards who can absolutely flat out score.
And Kansas State's Kentucky got a couple
doesn't
of them.
Have a lot of them.
Kansas State's got a couple of them. Michigan State, USC. Yeah. The 7-10s, there were so many.
I went 1-3.
I went 2-2. I went 2-2. The only thing that helped me was fading the Mountain West. If I had gone, because the other two I picked against the Big Ten team. And so there were three Big Ten teams on the 7-10 in that 7-10 game. And I picked four, one of them, and it was only because it was against a Mountain West team.
Right.
I took A&M, and I took USC in this game. They're just not that good of a team.
Yep.
I don't know how they made the tournament. I'm watching them. Well, Boogie Ellis wasn't playing well, and their other scorer, I can't remember his name, was playing a little banged up. So, you know, but Michigan State's a good team. Tom Izzo's a great coach, as much as that pains
March
me
coach,
to say.
Man.
And Michigan State was able to win this game. And then on the flip side, Marquette, Vermont. The Catamounts kept it close, I think, in the first half, and then Marquette really pulled away. Shaka was able to get a win, you know, maybe take the monkey off the back, and then the very next round it was like...
I think I had more kick going to the Elite Eight. I think this team, I still think that team is really, really good.
I had them going to the Elite Eight, too.
They just lost, man.
They lost to Michigan State, and listen, this is exactly what Michigan State does. You know, they always win as the underdog. Yep. Is the lower seed. I think Izzo's got the most now in college basketball history. And it just irks me that they're able to do this. You know, they beat Marquette, and they beat him pretty soundly. I don't think at any point in that game where it was like, Marquette's going to win this game. It was like Michigan State's all pretty in control here, and they're going to find a way to win. And so now they match up with Kansas State. I don't know how many people had that as their Sweet 16.
No, I didn't. I got killed. I got killed on this side of the bracket.
I had three picks right in the first eight, or in the round of 64 in this game, in the first round. Three. So you want to know how I had one Sweet 16 team right. One.
Oh, no. One. I had five right in the first round, and then I don't know if I had a single right in the next round. I had not one. Sweet 16, not one, zero.
I had Kansas State. That was my only one.
I had Purdue, Duke, Kentucky, Marquette, folks.
Mine was Purdue, Oral Roberts, Kansas State, Marquette. So it wasn't great. Okay, so now, and so this is what I'm talking about. Like the top half of the, I had 6 out of 8.
Right.
I had 2 out of 8 on the bottom.
Yeah.
So I went 8 of 16 in the Sweet 16. I have two Final Four teams left, and neither one of my championship participants left. So
ugly.
FAU Tennessee. I'm going to take Tennessee in that one.
I think FAU could win though.
I do think FAU could win. I'm going to go with Tennessee. They've been here before. They're a little more experienced, and I think defense travels much more than
whatever
FAU does. And then Michigan State, Kansas State. I'm going to take Michigan State. This is just a team that is going to win.
Right.
I don't know what else to say other than that.
It's like they beat better teams than Kansas State.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
And Marquette was better than Kansas State, so they could. I think I will take Kansas State. Maybe it's wishful thinking, but I don't like Michigan State.
I don't either.
They always play close games with Purdue, and they always give them a tough test, but. I hope Kansas State, that's what I'll pick. I'll
so then
Kansas
if it's State Tennessee, is. Michigan State... I really do think that Michigan State's got a pretty easy path to the Final Four. I'm going to take Michigan State. I'm going to take Michigan State.
To go to the Final Four, darn.
Yeah. Unfortunately, yeah.
I'll go with Tennessee. I think this final year for Rocky Top.
That would be nice. Rick Barnes could use that, right?
Yeah, maybe I'll make a second chance bracket.
That's what I was thinking we'd do. We make a second chance bracket. So I think my new Final Four is still going to be Creighton-Miami, just because I'm not going to change what I actually had right.
Mm-hmm.
That would be silly of me. I'm going to go Michigan State and then UCLA. So a very interesting Final Four.
Yeah, I got to figure out what I actually had on the top. I had Alabama, So, I'll go Alabama, Miami.
You got Tennessee. Alabama, Tennessee, SEC Final Four.
Yeah, Miami and
then Gonzaga. Did you pick UConn? No, you picked UConn.
I picked UConn.
You picked UConn. Right. Okay.
That would be my Final Four.
That would be your Final Four. Okay. Well, I hate March.
Yeah, I know.
Did I mention how much I hate March?
It's frustrating.
Because, you know, like, at least...
you got to be 1-64. It's so hard.
Like, with Michigan last year, it was like, you know, we felt kind of lucky to get in. And then you win two games. It's like, oh my gosh, this is so cool. And then you lose in just like such a frustrating way to Villanova. You can't buy a bucket. It's like, am I even happy that we made it to
this?
Turn
it off. I'm dying.
That's what March does to you.
Yeah.
That's what March does to you.
And there's no rooting interest after your team goes. Your team goes the first round.
Yeah.
What can you do?
I really don't care about any of these teams. I don't. I don't know.
Miami's fun to watch. I will say that. I wouldn't mind seeing them make a run to the Final Four so I could be right. But
yeah, honestly,
I think Alabama's kind of fun to watch.
You know what?
Too,
Creighton.
Frankly.
Creighton's going to be my team.
Yeah.
Creighton's going to be my team. I don't know. It's going to happen. Okay. You good?
Yep.
Thank you guys so much for watching. Hope you enjoyed. Catch you on the flip. See ya.